supported our members who went through a hunger strike in order to get the governor at the time's attention. And we won. We won that. We won the fund for excluded workers. I'm also really happy to say that we've been helping people apply for the fund so they can get their well-deserved funds. And at the festival itself, we will have application assistance there. So if you would like to learn more about the fund, to see if you qualify, or if to just apply right away, well, you're more than welcome to do it at the festival.
David, that is such important work that you're doing. This is Kathy. I've got another line of questioning for you. And that is just to acknowledge that for communities to celebrate their heritage is so important, and it must be a moment of great celebration for the Latinx community in the area. But then how do you handle the inevitable issue of showcasing ethnicity, so to speak, for the dominant culture's entertainment? I imagine this is something that your group wrestles with all the time. How do you navigate that?
So there's a thing where, if I can get personal for a second, I've lived in our area for about 4 years now. And when I first moved here, I used to live in Southern New York. When I first moved here, I had like an issue with identity because I didn't feel very much welcomed in the area. I didn't see a lot of people like myself. I'm myself a Latino. And then I found Columbia County Sanctuary Movement and I became a volunteer, and I was opened up to this world of people who want to make everybody feel equal here. Like, regardless of where you come from, regardless of the language you speak, everybody here is included. I've felt nothing but warmth and love ever since I joined Columbia County Sanctuary Movement. And I want to bring that, that feeling to everybody in the region. So that's what we're focusing on, is showing different sides to this region. And just knowing that everybody is invited, everybody is welcome. Maybe, you know, somebody will come to the festival and realize that they really like the music they're listening to. They really like the food they're eating, and then, you know, become an ally and support. So that's what we focus on, is just making sure people know that our Latinx community is here, and we support and embrace everybody.
Lovely.
Thank you, David. This is thank you for this interview. Where can listeners find more information about this festival?
Oh, yeah. So we have it all on our website, and that is sanctuarycolumbiacounty.org. You just type that in, and you'll see right there at the top of our website more information, even a countdown to the festival. Just click on those links, and you can learn more about our vendors and about our musicians who will be there at the festival.
Thank you, David. Hope to talk with you again.
Yeah, thank you for having me. This was great. Hope to see you guys there.
Thanks, David. So again, that's Sunday, this Sunday, September 12th to 12 to 4 p.m. at the Henry Hudson Riverfront Park.
The Wyndham Farmers Market is held every Saturday from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. in front of Wyndham Local at 5410 Route 23 in Wyndham. You can find out all kinds of information about the Wyndham Farmers Market on the WGXC community calendar at wgxc.org, where all sorts of local events are listed. And you can even list your own if you go to wgxc.org and click on Add an Event. You'll be read on the radio, just like the Wyndham's Farmers Market, which is held every Saturday through October 9th in front of Wyndham Local with meats, greens, honey, vegetables, and more. That's the Wyndham Farmers Market from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. every Saturday on Route 23 in Wyndham. Zoom, 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 zoom
One more time.
That was the Johnson Rag from Esquivel.
Thank you.
That was Esquivel with Miniskirt. Here's another track from the Mexican composer, Walking Happy from Esquivel.
Thank you. now to absorb some local color through the magic of AM radio.
The book of Revelations tells us to watch for the seven signs of evil.
Bacon, sign of evil number 4.
Continuing our sign of evil countdown, here's Vanessa Williams.
You gotta try something.
You got a job at the radio station?
Oh, great, that place. It's dark and dirty and has, like, what, those three weirdos who work there?
Folks, before we begin taping today, I'd like to introduce you to Mr. Peter Jenks of the Federal Communications Commission. Okay?
Thank you, Mr. Barris. I don't know if any of you are aware of this, but it's a federal offense to make lascivious remarks on a television network broadcast. The penalty for this disgusting behavior is 1 year in prison, or a $10,000 fine, or both. making a sick, submersive remark tonight will be arrested immediately. I then will personally escort the offender to federal prison for booking under edict number 364 of the Broadcasting Act of 1963. And it's a long drive to that prison, baby. Just you and me. No witnesses.
Okay, have fun, buddy. All right.
Next, we hear a track from the 2003 compilation album, The Shape of Jazz to Come. This is Antipop Consortium with Monstro City.
Midday Gravity. Few and far between. The pain leaks from the drips in the ceiling, filling the buckets overflowing with self-pity. What was I to ponder why? Reasons are led hand in hand by the smoke of her cigarette, imparting ways like strokes in her hair, gentle against her cheek. Gentle against her cheek, strokes of her hair, imparting ways like the smoke of her cigarette. Reasons are led astray hand in hand by what was I to ponder why? Overflowing with self-pity. Filling the buckets from the drips in the ceiling. The pain leaks few and far between. And thee at poem, this started I. Most events of sequence with the began discourse to the relevant. Love was there first. Entanglement as itself reconfigured. Soon which love, folly sad, the into turned, turn in. Which entrapment face we win. Anymore here, live, don't love. Irrelevant is, was that love thee so?
Rahsaan Roland Kirk and John Cage with the 1967 piece Sound.
Is it high? Is it low? Is it in the middle? Is it soft? Does it communicate anything? Must it? If it's high, does it? If it's low, does it? Is it a sound? If so, is it music? Is music, the word I mean, is that a sound? If it is, is music, music. Is it softer than before? Is it supersonic? When will it stop? What's coming? Will it never stop? Why won't it? Is sound enough? What more do I need? Silence is not a question of a little sound or more sound. There's no such thing as no sound. It's simply a question of what sounds we intend and what sounds we don't intend.
I've been put down by many critics for exploring what I call sound. Sound is something like eyesight to me. One, two, one, two, three, four.
This is Chris France of Tom Tom Club, and you're listening to 90.7 FM WGXC Accra.
Lithuanian composer Martin Rock engineers the collision of ambient noise and cinematic forces in his music, and we'll venture into deep space with him on the next Deep Threes. Plus, music from Christina Pato, VJ Iyer, William Onyebor, and Nina Cherry. Deep Threes. Where will the music take you?
Tune in to Deep Threes after the noon news on Monday at WGXC 90.7 FM.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by the First Presbyterian Church of Hudson, a faith community open to all. Whether you are single, married, divorced, gay, wealthy, poor, or no habla inglés, if you are just browsing, just woke up, or just got out of jail, it doesn't matter if you work on Wall Street or if you sleep on Wall Street. You belong. We love soccer moms, crying babies, vegans, hipsters, seekers and doubters, tourists and locals. All are welcome. Services held Sunday mornings at 10:45 a.m. You can find us on the web at firstpreshudson.org.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of LOVID. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
You are listening to Transmission Arts programming on WGXC 90.7 FM.
The Spy Who Came In Through Your Phone. I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! With Dennis Moynihan in our weekly Breaking the Sound Barrier podcast. Is the phone in your pocket spying on you? As cell phones have become ubiquitous, government intelligence agencies have poured vast resources into hacking them, remotely stripping people of their privacy in the name of national security. Now a burgeoning industry has emerged, generating huge profits for shadowy corporations that specialize in developing ever more innovative ways to secretly infect digital devices with spyware. Activists, journalists, human rights defenders, and dissidents the world over have been surveilled and, in a number of cases, arrested, tortured, or killed. This week, Citizen Lab, a cybersecurity research organization based at the University of Toronto, revealed the existence of a zero-click exploit that exposed 1.65 billion Apple iPhone and other Apple devices to a complete and almost undetectable takeover by the spyware known as Pegasus, produced by NSO Group, a private company. Pegasus spyware grants unlimited access to all of an infected device's content, from chat messages to emails to phone calls, allows control of the phone's microphone and camera, and shares the phone's location in real time.
NSO Group is a mercenary surveillance company based in Israel.
That's Ronald Diebert, director of Citizen Lab, speaking on the Democracy Now! NewsHour.
And NSO Group first came on our radar, you will recall, back in 2016, when we discovered it was being used by the United Arab Emirates to target a human rights defender named Ahmad Mansour. Ever since then, we and others have documented extensive abuses of this company's technology.
If you believe NSO Group's founders, the software is only legally deployed to catch criminals, terrorists, pedophiles, and the like. Not convinced, Amnesty International and 155 other civil society groups and technology experts issued a joint letter calling for an immediate moratorium on the sale, transfer, and use of surveillance technology. They write, NSO Group's spyware has been used to facilitate human rights violations around the world on a massive scale. The letter goes on, it's become clear that its technology facilitates systemic abuse. If the recent allegations about the use of Pegasus are even partly true, then that red line has been crossed again and again with total impunity, they write. Among the cases cited by Amnesty is that of Cecilio Pineda Berto, a Mexican journalist shot dead on March 2, 2017. He'd been receiving death threats and just that morning announced a forthcoming report on corrupt local officials colluding with organized crime figures. In 2021, Pineda's phone number appeared on a leaked list of about 50,000 cell phone numbers from all over the world said to be targets of the Pegasus software. Scores of journalists from the Forbidden Stories Collaboration and Citizen Lab reported on the leaked list, which included hundreds of journalists and activists, as well as many world leaders.
If you don't do anything to stop the sale of this technology, it's not just going to be 50,000 targets, it's going to be 50 million targets.
That's National Security Agency, NSA whistleblower Edward Snowden, speaking to The Guardian last month.
So it's going to happen much more quickly than any of us expect. The way we do that is to halt the trade around this technology.
Pegasus was used to target phones owned by family members of Jamal Khashoggi, the Saudi dissident and Washington Post journalist, both before and after his brutal murder by a Saudi kill team inside the Saudi consulate in Istanbul on October 2, 2018. Another victim of the NSO Group's spyware is Omar Radi, an independent journalist in Morocco who's long reported on corruption, land expropriation, and human rights abuses by the Moroccan government. In 2020, Amnesty International issued a report with proof that Radi's iPhone had been infected by Pegasus spyware.
Pegasus is quite a silent program. You don't feel it.
That's Omar Radi speaking on the Democracy Now! NewsHour in July 2020. Just 2 weeks before he was arrested by the Moroccan police.
He can use your microphone, he can use your keyboard, he can use your screen and get any information that is stored in your phone. So I don't know what the amount of information they stolen from my phone.
Omar Radi was recently sentenced to 6 years in prison. Again, Citizen Lab director Ron Diebert speaking on Democracy Now!
NSO Group is merely one among many mercenary spyware companies that exist globally. Governments that have deep pockets can simply go and purchase this type of despotism as a service off the shelf. We've never seen anything like that historically, the privatization of this type of digital espionage.
Apple issued a software update that supposedly fixed this problem. But hackers will certainly find more holes in these digital device operating systems. Without a ban on Pegasus and spyware like it, human rights defenders, journalists, and others will continue to be targeted, spied on, beaten, arrested, and killed. I'm Amy Goodman with Dennis Moynihan.
German measles, Russian flu, Montezuma's revenge. And why do we say a foreign word whenever someone sneezes? Tomorrow, I'll take a look at swine flu, up close and personal. This is Les Nesbitt.
And now here is your WGXC weather update. Your forecast for the weekend. Well, on Saturday, a slight chance of showers between 2 p.m. and 4 p.m., and then showers and thunderstorms after 4 p.m. It will be partly sunny with a temperature high near 79 degrees. Saturday night, partly cloudy with a low of around 57 degrees. And on Sunday, sunny with a high near 72 degrees. And Sunday night, clear with a low of around 51 degrees. And that is your weather update from WGXC, 90.7 FM. Radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia counties.
One speeding ticket, Columbia County.
Columbia County, everybody gets speeding tickets. How else do they pay for the roads to get plowed in the winter?
This is Gabe Cruz Allen for the Hudson Mohawk Magazine, and I'm sitting here with Dr. Jose Cruz, professor of political science and Latin American and Caribbean studies at SUNY Albany. And we're going to talk about the fact that this September, starting today, actually, the 15th, is Hispanic Heritage Month. So, Dr. Cruz, how important was it to find and create community with other Hispanic people in the United States?
Well, for me, that was critical. Having arrived from Puerto Rico by myself and not knowing much English at the time of my arrival. So connecting with other Puerto Ricans in the city of New Haven, which is where I landed when I came to the United States for the first time, it was incredibly important because that connection provided me with a network of support, both culturally and materially.
So I know you've written a few books over the course of the years that you've been a professor. Can you give us some examples of how Puerto Ricans have contributed culturally and historically to the United States from the books?
Sure. Well, my research over the years has been about how ethnic identity is used for political purposes in urban settings. And my first book came out in 1998, titled Identity and Power. And that was followed several years later by Puerto Rican Identity, Political Development and Democracy in New York. That came out in 2017. And then Liberalism and Identity Politics, which came out 2 years later in 2019, very recently. And that book was focused on Puerto Rican community organizations in New York City and collective action. And fundamental research finding from all those research from those research projects has been that the use of ethnic identity in the political process It's something that is positive, contrary to the conventional wisdom about identity politics, which sees identity politics as divisive, conflictive in a negative way, and an unwelcome intrusion of into the political process of things that are better left to the civil society. What my research suggests is that that conventional wisdom is not entirely correct, that there are circumstances in which the inclusion of identity claims into politics can be beneficial to the society and to the political system. And that's a lesson and a contribution that Puerto Rican political participation has provided to American political process in general.
Okay, so and what Hispanic writers would you recommend for our listeners?
I'm a political scientist, but when it comes to writers, my predilections are more in terms of poetry and literature, fiction. At the top of my list, I would put Roberto Bolaño from Chile, but there are a bunch of others that I really, really like. From Argentina, I love the work of Paula Olóizarac, William Ospina from Colombia, Jorge Hernández from Mexico. From Cuba, I have a couple of favorite writers, Pedro Juan Gutiérrez and Wendy Guerra. And then, of course, from Puerto Rico, I love the work of Elizabeth Robles, who's a fantastic poet, and the fiction of Luis Negrón. That would be sort of my short list of favorite writers.
And what aspects of Hispanic heritage do you value most?
The part of my Hispanic heritage that I value the most has to do with culture, with literature, with music. I happen to also be the president of a local nonprofit organization by the name of Jazz Latino, which promotes concerts in the capital region, bringing to capital region audiences music from the genre of Latin jazz. I have produced a couple of CDs in that genre. The most recent one, which was produced actually this year, 2021, under rather difficult circumstances because of the pandemic. But it will be out in November, and it's a recording of the music of Silvia Resach, a notable Puerto Rican songwriter, composer, musician, actress, singer, it's very well known in the Caribbean, but not as well known in the United States or Europe. This recording will contribute to the further dissemination of her work in those places where she is not as well known. Music is really very important to me. My second nature at this point. It's the part of my Puerto Rican, Latino, Hispanic identity that I value the most for its expressiveness and for allowing me to really feel very good about myself.
And so I'm just curious, what can our listeners do to celebrate Hispanic Heritage Month?
Well, they can read some of those writers that I mentioned. They can listen to Latino music. My recommendation would be, you know, listen to a lot of salsa, listen to a lot of Latin jazz, be very festive, and enjoy the cultural contributions that Latinos have made to American culture and to American politics in general, you know, in that case, by reading the works of political scientists and historians that have focused on the, that particular stream of American politics and society.
Okay, and any other thoughts you have for just this topic of Hispanic Heritage Month?
I think that it's important for Americans in general to familiarize themselves as much as possible with Latino history and culture in the United States to better understand the fact that we are not a threat, that Latinos are you know, an integral part of this society, and that their role and their contributions historically and in contemporary times are worthy and deserve attention and praise.
Okay, tell us more about your organization. I believe it was called Jazz Latino Inc.
Yes, well, for short, people can just go to www.jazzlatino.org, where they can see the kind of work that we do, the kind of music that we promote. They can look at, they can access details about the CD productions that I mentioned previously. And they can also keep track of our, you know, future activities so that they can participate.
Okay, great. Well, thank you very much for interviewing with me, Dr. Cruz, and that concludes our interview.
Thank you for having me.
What else do DJs get? I mean, we're just voices in the air, but we're what makes radio live. And what do we get for it? Seems like every year you pack everything up, move to another town. Gets harder and harder to find a station that'll let you program music you want to play. Well, you're 40 and there's some kid half your age who will take your job and do it for half the money. And then you find yourself making silly demands. Free coffee. But that's my little moment of honesty, so we can get back to the nonsense. Thank you.
Thank you.